we jump into week number two. This is a quick series for us. Sometimes we'll go for 4, 5, 8 weeks, but this one's just a 3-week series right smack dab in the middle of summer. Now, I've already gotten flack from this, from calling Christians stupid, and why would you label a series that this doesn't sound like that biblical? This isn't that much like Jesus, Pastor Billy. And I'm like, well, we're just going to read the scriptures and see what Jesus, because that's what we do around here. We look at the scriptures and see what Jesus says, and he goes after those Christians who think they have it all together. They were known as the Pharisees at that time, the very religious people. And sometimes the very religious can put that label of Christians on them and really know nothing about Jesus. And we're going to see more about that today. But today we talk about hypocrites. Now, that is a term that is yes, it's an English word, but it was also a Greek word called hypocrites, and it was talking about actors, stage actors that would literally use different masks. They would have 1 to 5 actors that would act out a whole play, but in order to play all the different parts, because there were more than 5 parts, they would change different masks. And so now they're a male, now they're a female. Email. I mean, it happens today too. But we've got these masks that we hide behind. And so that is where the word hypocrite comes from. But we've been talking in this series about some data. And this data is coming from the book Unchristian. It was written in 2017, took a bunch of George Barna research data and Pew research data that interviewed pastors, Christians, and those outside of the church. And so it goes chapter by chapter. It's a cheap download if you're into digital books. If you like to listen, it's on Audible. If you're like a freebie like me, you just get those little free Tippecanoe library cards, download the app Hoopla, and it's on there. And you can listen to it at 2 times the speed while you're driving really fast, and it's really good. But there's a section in there that talks about Christians being hypocrites. Christians putting on a mask, saying that they're one thing, but when they take off that mask, they're not really that person. Many times that we'll put the mask on for a Sunday. We'll put the mask on when it benefits us. We'll put the mask on while we want to tell somebody else how they should be living. But really, in our own house, we have some of the same problems. And so from the book Unchristian, this is looking at and surveying ages 16 to 29-year-olds, and 85% thought that Christians were hypocritical. How many of you guys would agree with that? I agree with that, right? Christians are hypocritical. There's a quote in there that says, "Everyone in my church gave me advice of how to raise my son, but a lot of time they seem to be reminding me that I have no husband. And besides, most of them were not following even their own advice. It made it hard to care what they said because they were not practicing what they preached." 84% of those surveys who claimed to be a Christian, right? Those were people who knew a person that claimed to be a Christian. Many of us know people that claim to be Christian. And they were asked if there was any difference between those who claimed to be Christian versus those who actually were. Because you can claim to be something, right? Some of you have parents that claim to be cool, or you have moms that claim to know how to dance, right? And then you're like, "Mom, no, stop it," right? Like that happens all the time, right? See, in the book, it compares non-Christians to Christians. And it asks some data points about specific things. Like, if you are a Christian and you could get a $10,000 tax return, if you click this box, cheating on your taxes, would you do it? There was no statistical difference. People chose, yeah, if I can get that money, I'm going to do it. No statistical difference. That's usually within like a 2.5 or a 3.5% margin of error. No statistical difference. What about looking at pornography on the web? No statistical difference. What about driving past the places? It's got this big eyeball and that they can see into the future and they can look at some cards known as a psychic. Would you ever visit a psychic, even if you just lost a loved one and you wanted to talk to them one last time? No statistical difference from the Christian versus the non-Christian that would say yes. get in a fight, get drunk, say mean things and gossip behind people's backs. Again, no statistical difference. The book goes on and on. And yet sometimes we wonder, well, why wouldn't anybody want to become a Christian like me? Well, because they know you, and they know how you act, and they know what you say, and they know your addictions, and they know your depression, and they know the issues that you're facing, and those things aren't changing just because you're going, waking up early on a Sunday morning and going somewhere. So why would they want to wake up on a Sunday morning and go with you? Huh. So in this series, we're looking at the scriptures. We're looking at what Jesus calls out as hypocritical practice and saying, let's not be like this. Let's not be the stupid Christians that we read about in scripture and some of the ones that we've run into in this world. That we can't be that way. The next series starts off, I love my church. We have a I Love My Church Sunday. It's August 4th, and everybody that shows up gets a free t-shirt. Everybody gets a free limited edition I Love My Church t-shirt. I'm not supposed to tell you because my wife said if I say it, more people will show up, but she's in the nursery today, and so I am good. I can say it. Everybody, like we're going to be like little baby Jewel up here. We're going to try to get a shirt for that, and every age we're trying to get shirts for. Now, we know, like, we're probably going to get a bunch of, like, youth large for all of Innovation Kids because they'll grow into it, right? And that's okay. We can't order, like, a ton of and have all these exercises. But August 4th, put it on your calendar, Moody, right? Put it over there. And make sure you're here because if you're not in the room, you ain't getting one. You ain't getting one. There's not going to be extras. Like you ain't getting them if you're not in the room. All you online? No, you ain't getting it. Yeah, online counts. Yeah, for check-ins, for Destiny Rescue, it counts. But for a free t-shirt? Nope, sorry. Anyways, all right. So the word hypocrite. All right. A lot of people talk about, I don't want to go to church because there's hypocrites in there. How many of you ever heard that? Right? How many of you ever said that? Right? I get it. There are. But have you ever really thought about that statement and measured it against anything else, right? Well, I don't want to go to McDonald's because there's a lot of hypocrites in there, right? I saw them. They were in there. They had on their workout clothes, but they're eating at McDonald's? Like, really? I mean, okay, you ordered the double quarter pounder with cheese, you supersized the fries, and then you got a Diet Coke. Like, really? Did you really think that Diet Coke is going to make up for all that? There's way too many hypocrites eating at McDonald's. I can't go there, right? Right? We don't hold that standard to Walmart. Well, there's too many hypocrites that shop at Walmart, right? I just can't go there because there's too many. Like, hypocrites are everywhere. You can't not go anywhere and get a hypocrite. Movie stars, right? Movie stars. Oh, we got to save the planet, right? We got to save the planet. We got to do it. And they drive their Hummers and they fly in their jet planes and go place to place to place. Everybody else needs to save the planet but me and my $1 million jet. You know, I'm good, right? Like that is just fine. Musicians, right? And I'm sorry, ladies, but this happens a lot of times with female musicians. And I'm like, what? You say one thing, but you do another. Female musicians, I just want people to know me for my music, right? I want to stand up for the rights of all the little girls in America and the over-sexualization of girls, right? And then they dance on stage in lingerie, right? And they got everything bouncing out and flying around, and then they're posing on magazines, and it's like, what are you talking about? You're the one that's giving them the example to follow. It's in the lyrics and your music, and it's all over you on stage. But yet you want to hold a press conference and say girls are over-sexualized? You're contributing to that. There's hypocrites everywhere. Politicians, don't even get me dang started on politicians, right? They'll campaign for the little guy. Oh, we're going to cut your taxes, right? And the lobbyist pays them some money on the side. And so what? So what about the voters? And that's on both sides. Don't even play the R and the D. It's all of them. Parents who teach their kids to obey the law. Sorry, this one gets personal because then you just slap up that radar detector and say, hey! See, it's everywhere. Being surprised that there are hypocrites in church is like being surprised that there's sick people in the doctor's office, right? We're coming here, me included, to say, all right, What's the Word of God have to say today? And how can I follow Jesus? Right? There's this weird, crazy, bald guy that tries his best to talk to God and says, God, where do you want us to go? How do you want us to serve our city? How do you want us to love? How do you want us to act like Jesus? And then he reads these Bible verses and then expects me to live them out. I expect me to live them out. And it's hard, but I come here every week. I also attend a couple other churches online so that I can listen, so that I can learn, so that I can sit and absorb and be spurred along and grow. There's hypocrites everywhere. There's hypocrites in this church. Some of you people online are like, yeah, at Innovation Church, there sure are. They're right there. I see them in the first row, right? That's okay. We're right here. I started off last week's service, said, I'm Billy, and I'm a stupid Christian. Because I make mistakes, but I don't want to keep making them. There's hypocrites in the Bible, right? Just in case you know, when you read through the Bible, the person you're supposed to be, like, modeling yourself after is Jesus. Just in case, it's not like Rahab, the prostitute, like Paul, the murderer, Moses, the guy who's disobeying God and striking the rock twice. Like that's not the people. Like, we learn what some to do and a lot of what not to do from people in the Bible. But there's hypocrites in there, right? Paul, you see him going at it with Peter. He accused him of being a hypocrite because he ate with non-Jews only when the Jews weren't around, right? Oh, the Jews think I'm somebody special, and so I can't be seen with those outsiders when the Jews are around. Paul's calling him out like, no, Peter, that is not what you need to do. David, right, the man after God's own heart. By the way, he got that title when he was just working as a shepherd boy in the field, when he was about his father's business, not when he was king. But we see this boy that's called a man after God's own heart later to grow up and commit adultery and to murder the person's husband. It's easy to find hypocrites in the church, in the Bible. It's easy to find them anywhere. But what do we do with them once we find them? What do we do with it when we find it in the mirror? How do we handle even our own hypocrisy? Of course, there are hypocrites in the church, just like there's sick people in a doctor's office. But we as Christians, we can say we care about the poor. But what do we actually do with our money to change that? How do we steward our money? Do we handle our own finances the exact same way as the world? If you read the book Unchristian, you'll see that same way. We waste our money. We're not good stewards of it. We spend it. We live paycheck to paycheck, drowning in debt, going after things that pleasure us and make us happy instead of being content with what God has already blessed us with. We're always chasing and striving for bigger and better. There's often a huge gap between what we say and how we live. Right? We can say we forgive people, but when they mess up, when they hurt us, when they gossip about us, we're the first one to cast the stones. We're the first ones to be mean. We're the first ones to withhold our own forgiveness. Trust me. Two high-profile pastors in the month of June. Some sketchy things that they did in their past. People in this room, there's sketchy things that we've all done in our past. Are we going to hold it against one another? Are we going to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling? Are we going to forgive as we have been forgiven? While Jesus was still, while he died on the cross, while we were still sinners, he paid the price for us. Are we going to extend that same forgiveness? Many times we don't look enough like Jesus. Modern Christianity really doesn't resemble much of what Jesus intended. And so we're taking this series to say, are we? Are we going to be the stupid Christians that we see in Scripture? Are we going to be those full of religion? Because this world, the 67%, can't really stomach this disconnect of why wouldn't those that are following after Jesus look act, sound a little bit different, right? We have this scripture that tells us, right? We talked about it last week about judging, that God doesn't look at the outward appearance, but he looks at the heart. He judges us based off the heart, right? But we have a world that's looking at our outward appearance. Is our outward appearance ever changing? From the inside out, we first make that decision, and then we choose to follow after Jesus, but it does have to come out. It does have to change the way we act, the way we talk, the way we live, who we're living with, who we're sleeping with, who we're choosing to not sleep with until we're married. Yeah, it's when our biblical worldview actually goes into place in our lives. And we actually choose to hear God's word and change who we are based off of what it says. Does it mean we're never going to make any mistakes? No. I mean, Corey was like, Ava's getting baptized today. Is she going to be perfect after this? I mean, because she doesn't, like, her room is all messy, and I don't know. No. I'm making that up. It's okay. But Ava's not going to be perfect, Corey, right? And all those, all our family members are like, yeah, she's not. She's still going to make mistakes. And we all are. None of us are going to be perfect, but are we trying? See, in Matthew 23, Jesus expressed his deep contentment for true religious hypocrites, right? These are people that say one thing and do another. In verses 3 through 4 in Matthew 23, and please read this. I actually meant to send out a text saying read Matthew 23 because I knew we had to condense things to get the baptisms in. But in verses 3 through 4, it talks about how they give laws to others, but they don't live by them themselves, right? They can tell other people what to do. Hey, you shouldn't beat your spouse, but they do it behind closed doors. Hey, you should love them, right? Just like the hypocrite, you love your neighbors yourself, but you're unwilling to even let them borrow your lawnmower when theirs is broken, right? Like, they love to impress the public. They love impressive and public religious displays. If you look at verses 5 through 12, it talks about how they want to be known. They want to have titles. They want to be known as prophetess this and prophet this and reverend and pastor this. Like, I try even not to sign my emails Pastor Billy because I'm really just Billy. Trying my best to help pastor, and that really just means to be a shepherd. Like, get sheep from standing in their own poop. Like, come on, let's move underneath the grass on this side because that is contaminated over there and it's causing you to get sick, right? So I got some, like, how to be a hypocrite rules right here, right? We see right there from their examples, you try to impress people, not God, right? Because we saw Jesus called them whitewashed tombs. They were clean on the outside but not on the inside. When I just talked about, like, change of heart, that it goes from the inside out. They were trying to go from the outside in. See, the Pharisees were consumed with making their scroll holders even be bigger and grandier and grandiose than anybody else so that people would be impressed. They would try to win converts to their own religion, but not really following after God. They would interpret the law of God with their own purposes. They would make you make oaths to the temples and by the gold of the temple, by the altar of the temple, by the gifts brought to the temple. They would emphasize religious details, but ignore the most important truths, right? Jesus had to get on to him. He said, yes, it's good for you to tithe, to return money back to the church, but if you can't treat people with love and mercy and the grace that I've shown, remember, they're ready to stone people because they broke the law, and that's not the Colorado stoning, those of you that are visiting today, or the Michigan stoning, or the Ohio or Illinois, it's surrounding us, right? It's not that kind of, they're ready to kill because people are breaking the law. And Jesus is ready to rescue those that are breaking the law, to save and say, there's a better way to live life. I've come so that you could have life to the fullest, so that you could say goodbye to those things. That's why he went to the tax collector and said, follow me and I will make you. He said, say goodbye to taking everybody's taxes. Goodbye to fishing for fish. Let's start fishing for men. They keep the outward appearance clean, while leaving the inside corrupt. And so we see that in the first rule of how to be a hypocrite. You try to impress people, but not God. We can do that with our social media statuses, right? We can do that by just posting a verse of the day, even. We can make it seem religious, but when we never apply that verse to our lives. That would be making sure the outside looks good, but not the inside. How to be a hypocrite, number two, would be to care more about the way things look than the way things really are. See, there's a warning that Jesus, his own words, they're in red letters in Matthew 7, verses 21 to 23. And this has been chills up and down my spine when I've read this. It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. I don't know about you, but I've cried out to God. I've asked him to come into my heart. And it's talking about people that have cried out to God. He's saying they're not all going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. It says, but he who does the will of my Father, who is in heaven, will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not perform many miracles? We could see plenty of people all throughout, whether they be on TV, whether they be in other churches prophesying, and we'd be like, oh, that's a man of God. People laying on hands and miracles happen, we'd be like, oh, that person knows God. But this verse tells us that even those people could be doing those things and God saying, I don't know who you are. How could that be? I think it's that will of his Father. What is the will of God? We see that in the Word of God. We see that in the life of Jesus coming to practice. Do we practice the things that Jesus did, or are we just going after the things that the religious did? We might be a hypocrite. If you advocate for being humble and make sure that everybody knows about your good deeds. You might be a hypocrite if you tell others to pray for patience while honking and telling the other car that they're number one during rush hour. You might be a hypocrite if you criticize people for gossiping, but you can't wait to share the newest story. Hypocrisy within the church is something we can't ignore. We can't just sweep it under the rug. Many of the 67% see Christians as hypocrites. But we get to change that. We get to change that with our walk. We get to change that with our talk. We get to change that with our dress. That's why we have like a whole little merch shop back there that says, I love my church, or by his stripes, or be the light. Like there's scripture on these verses, because I tend to find that one opens up a lot more conversation than just the smiley face Nirvana guy, right? Cool shirt, but is that one changing anybody's lives? When somebody asks, what does that mean, by his stripes and those three stripes? What does that mean? When somebody says, what is that heart on the back of your car? I see those all around town. What? And you just let me merge into traffic, right? You let me have the good parking spot. Why did you do that? What does that mean? That's why we do those things. To start and to spur on conversation. What about our mouths, right? What's coming out of our mouths? Or more so today, what's coming out of these mouths, right? Our fingers and our social media and our shares and our pictures and our likes and our loves, right? What's going on? We have to understand that God looks at the heart, but man's looking at that outward appearance. If people are really shocked that you go to church, right? Oh, I go to church. You do? Right? How? Oh my God, you, right? If they make a big deal, you go to church. You, are you sure about that? Like where they talk about Jesus and following after him, you're the one that goes to church, right? There could be a good positive, right? Because you're not the judgmental, hypocritical person. You are a normal person. You're not holier than thou. That's great. And like, finally, I found a normal one. Or sometimes it's the you, you, the person who just said more words than a sailor to our boss. The one who just ran into that car and fled the scene. You, the one who your spouse has bruises on her face. You? See, if people are doubting that, I pray that it's because of the first reason. Because you're not acting like the judgmental holier than thou. That you're not secluding Jesus to a Sunday morning. And you're not submitted to him every day of the week. There's this old song. I drummed up a Southern Baptist. Let's see if I can get it back for the second service. I drummed it up in the first service. It's this song called I Surrender All, right? I broke up some bravado. I surrender all to Jesus. Right? Anybody been to that church? My mama took me to that church when I was a little boy, a little baby boy, right? I surrender all. I rewrote it a little bit. Just a little bit. All to Jesus I surrender. Well, maybe not everything. I'll give up my Sunday mornings, but not all my Netflix binge. All to Jesus I'll be truthful, except when I'm telling little small tiny white lies. I'll be good when it's convenient, but with food I'll compromise. I surrender some. I surrender some. Maybe leftovers, but not my income. I surrender some. All to Jesus, I'll be faithful. Except when there's a football, basketball, softball, pickleball, anything with a ball game on. I'll be nice to all my neighbors, but if they don't vote like me, I'll call them names. I surrender some, right? How many of us walk around every day? I surrender some. If they do me wrong, I'll punch them a big one. I'll surrender some, right? Are we actively following Jesus? Because when we're actively following him, he's making us. That's the promise he's made from the steps here on this earth till each and every day. Follow me and I will make you. There's going to be changes in our lives. There's going to be changes in our addiction. There's going to be changes in our behavior. There's going to be what's called the fruit of the Spirit, because we've asked his Spirit to come live inside of us. And so there's going to be love. There's going to be joy. There's going to be peace. There's going to be patience. And then there's going to be people that test our patience. And we're going to have to respond with patience. There's going to be long suffering. That even though there's some suffering going on in our lives, we're able to endure it because we have a Savior that's there with us. Walking us through us, guiding us through it, comforting us through it. We're not looking to a bottle. We're not looking to a hit. We're not looking to a vape to ease our pain, but we're focused and always returning back to a Savior that is the only one that can do the saving. We're letting the Savior do the saving, and we're not leaning on our own understanding, but in all our ways, we're acknowledging him and letting him direct our path. We see that. When Jesus went to Zacchaeus, right? It was great to see Amanda wearing her Mutter Clucker shirt, right? Some of you had no clue what that means. We talked about it last Christmas. It was great. But because when Jesus went and talked to Zacchaeus, he was one of the most hated tax collectors in all the land. He said, Zacchaeus, come down from here. And there's all the people talking, circling up and gossiping. Oh, can you believe Jesus is talking to him? That horrible person. Some of you do that with people here in the church. Can you believe they're here in this church? Can you believe they go here? Can you believe they showed up on Sunday? Oh my gosh. Oh! This is crazy, right? They began to mutter. That's what I think it was the NLT version said. And I thought of my chickens, because when I would walk up, they were always scared, and they would circle up and they would start to cluck. And so we said, no mutter clucking around here. We need to be open to what Jesus is doing. And if he is doing a work in the most hated people of the city, we need to be right there, right alongside them and encouraging them, because where else should they be? I got three people excited about that. All right, that's two more than last week. Let's go. All right. We should be actively following Jesus, because when Jesus met with Zacchaeus, they had dinner. When they left that dinner table, most people don't know what happened. They're just like, wee little man was he, he's kind of been sick, more tree. You know the song, right? Like that's all you know about Zacchaeus. But when they left the dinner, Zacchaeus knew that it was time to change, because he had met Jesus. And now it's time to no longer follow after the world, do the things the way the world does, cheat people the way the world does, try to just get ahead. And so he said, I'm going to take the money that I have, and I'm going to pay the people back that I've cheated, and I'm not just going to pay them back what they owe or what I owe them. I'm paying them back, I believe it's about four times the amount that I cheated them out of. See, when God chooses, like changes your heart, you choose to go a different way. Follow me and I will make you is a daily pattern that you're walking out. When somebody does you wrong, when somebody curses you out, when somebody tells you that you're number one and you're driving, right? You don't respond the same way the world responds. When another church member messes up, you walk in forgiveness. When a boss does something, you don't curse them up one side and down the other. When the murderer walked with Jesus, he then became a writer. He became a church planter. And we get 2/3 of the New Testament because Paul spent some time with Jesus. We gather here each and every week to spend time with Jesus. When we leave this place, what are we doing different? How are we leaving here changed? Are we taking these words that we hear and saying, okay, holding them up as a mirror and saying, if my life doesn't look like this word, then I'm the one that needs to change. I'm not just going to blot out parts of Scripture. The hypocrisy should remind us that real faith means constantly checking ourselves and living authentically. The mistakes that people make should be our opportunities to show love, our opportunities to show mercy, to be the ones that are actually extending forgiveness, going the extra mile, to be the ones living off less, to be the ones just like Rob and saying, you know what, I'll pick up some drumsticks if that can help some people worship. I'll, like Brandy, go to a summer camp if you need an adult to help oversee these girls, to pray with these girls. Be like Mark, and I'll give up a week's vacation. And I'll go and invest my life into others. I was sitting up in the balcony because there were so many kids that all the seats were taken up on the ground floor at camp. Sitting up on the balcony, they call kids that need prayer. And I look up and Mark's there praying for kids, laying hands on kids, and tears just begin to stream down my face. Some would call, people when they get the vacation, you know, they want to go off and they just want to relax and indulge themselves. And those things are good. Those types of vacations are good. But sometimes you just stop wrestling the hogs so you can wrestle the Bader boys and show them that there's somebody that loves them and that cares about them, so that you can wrestle with Grayson and try to keep him in line. He's my own son. He's hard. to just love on students and show them that there's adults that care about them and that want to see God move in their life. Some do that a week out of the year. Some do that every week of the year, like Nikki Bryles. Sitting in there loving on preschoolers, sharing the love of Jesus with them, week after week, sometimes after week, right? And does it with a smile. Because she's not going to be one that withholds her love for others just because that means that she serves in the first service and sits in the second service. She says, the love that Jesus has poured out to me, I have to get that to other people. I want to do it here in the church. I want to do it in my workplace. I want to do it every way possible. And so these gifts and talents that I have with playing with toddlers, I'll use them. With playing guitar, I'll use them. With singing into a mic, with parking cars, with hugging people, with cutting bagels, with whatever it may be. I will use my time. I will use my talent. Some of you even went above and beyond your regular 10% that God says, honor me first with this 10%. You said, I'm giving over and above my tithe, and I'm going to give an offering to save kids with Destiny Rescue. I'm going to give over and above my tithe. I'm going to stop driving through Starbucks this week and probably save like $300. And I'm going to give that to a student that didn't have enough money to go to camp. You gave an offering. You went over and above your tithes. That reckless love that we sing about can be lived out through all of our lives. And other lives will be changed with our time, with our talent, with our treasure. Can we use those? This series is all about how to not use those. The next series we jump into is called I Love My Church. Everybody gets a free t-shirt on August 4th if you show up. Don't tell my wife I told you. But I get it. There's hypocrites out there. But there's always room for one more. That's continually walking with Jesus, letting him take us and make us. Today, if you're one of those hypocrites, you're saying, you know what, Pastor Billy, I haven't been following after Jesus. I've been doing life my way, following my own plans. We give these books out for those that say that they want to learn more about what it's like to follow after Jesus, and we got to digitize so it doesn't cost us so much, and so you don't set it down and lose it, so that you can just scan this and keep it with you everywhere you go. But it's called Following Jesus. I love saying a prayer, like a starting line, a commitment, a let's do this, but I also love challenging those to actually do the research and to find out what following Jesus looks like. This simple QR code, I've got like 20 of these up here. But it says seven essentials to following Jesus. What does the church have to do with that? What does baptism have to do with that? What does actually loving other people have to do with following Jesus? How can we help? We would love to help you follow Jesus. Those connect cards that are all around you, if you need help following Jesus, just write on one of those. I want to follow Jesus. Drop it either at guest services or in the offering box in the back. And we'll walk out this journey with you. This journey actually towards following him and not following what the Pharisees did. This series, we're saying we don't want to be judgmental. We don't want to be hypocrites. We don't want to be out of touch with our culture, out of our society. In the next series we jump into, but this is the kind of church that we will be. This is the kind we won't be. This is the kind we will be. Going over our values, our vision, and the church that the world needs to see.